then you believe it. Psalm 104. Will somebody say hallelujah? Amen. Brother Rudy's here next week. You better get your hallelujahs ready because he's expecting you to be shouting and having a good time. Amen. I can't wait to see my buddy. And what a good guy he is. Amen. We're going to talk about a poem of creation. This is Psalm 104. It's kind of set up like Genesis, when Genesis starts out and says that God made the heaven, the earth, and he made light and water. And the second day he made the firmament. On the third day he separates the land from the water. On the fourth day he puts the planets, sun to rule the day, moon to rule the night. On the fifth day he gives us these great sea creatures. And the Bible said he filled the seas plentifully, fully, just gobbled up them, amen. I was watching a deal the other day on the national, what do they call that? National magazine, national. What did you say? Yeah, National Geographic. Yeah, and they were showing about sharks, and they were showing about all these different kind of fish. Cool thing, and man, they are really plentiful. And then he also made the fish, and then also the fowls of the earth. And then on the sixth day, created all the creeping things and the cattle and after their kind. And then a man, magnificent, he made man on the sixth day. Seventh day rested. So Psalm 104 kind of goes down like that. It kind of the Hebrew poet who was writing this poem, that's the way you're supposed to say it, poem. I went to college. How about that? Poem. If that's all I got, that's all I got. But anyway, I got to read the poem. I took English, can't even remember now, English, I'll think of it. And maybe I won't think of it. I did a really good job in it because I played football and he gave me a good score. But anyway, English lit. And the first thing he told us now, it is not a poem, it's a poem. Well, thank you. And cost me $1,000 for that 3-hour course. That's what I got out of it. But anyway, and some little Shakespeare ditties, you know. And but anyway, what Shakespeare had for me, I didn't get him, amen. All right, my nephew is in Cambridge University. In Oxford right now, over in England, and he is getting his doctorate in that stuff. God bless you, big man. All right. Let's stand and read Psalm 104, and you will sign. You'll find out. You pick it out. It's 34 verses here of the Psalm 104. Now, remember now, for some of you new people just came in, you'll notice that in this, there are 66 books in the Bible. All of them have chapters except the Psalms. Psalms is the Hebrew songbook. And so when Brother Rick led you this tonight and said, turn to 105 or 107, what it was, this is what the Psalms are. They're Hebrew songs. They have different, what we call different rhythms to them. And different meters. But they're songs. They literally are sung by the Hebrew people. Many of them are written by David. Some Hezekiah, some Solomon, some Moses. And so it's kind of interesting when you read these Psalms. And when someone says turn to chapter 104 of Psalms, you know that he hasn't done his work. So really be careful about that. Make sure that you learn about a little bit about Psalms. When it says Selah, I mean, think of that. Kind of like the old cow goes out and eats a bunch of grass and go down and sits underneath the tree and chews on it, and whether you know it or not, they bring it up from that first stomach and put it in the second stomach, but they chew it up and put it back. I don't know how they do it, but they know how to do it, amen? And they regurgitate, oh, isn't that great? And then they eat it again, and then they put it back down, and Captain, it ain't funny. I'm trying to be cool here. All right? And so, that's what I said. Think just what you read. Now, do you understand? Think what you just read. And many times it'll come up, Selah. All right, Psalm 104. Bless the Lord. That's a good idea. O my soul, O Lord my God, thou art very great, thou art clothed with honor and majesty, who coverest thyself with light as with a garment, who stretchest out the heavens like a curtain, who layeth the beams of his chambers in the water. How many scuba dive? How many of you went snorkeling? And you're swimming down there, and all of a sudden you see these little beams when you're down there, when you're diving. Beams of light. What are you talking about, amen? It's incredible. Who maketh the clouds his chariots. How many ever seen a chariot in the clouds? I have. See, I've seen airplanes. I've seen sharks. I've seen, look up there. Oh, man. And before you can tell somebody else it's gone, it turns into a cat. But anyway. Who walketh upon the wings of the wind. The other day we were flying to Great Falls to Minneapolis, and on this plane it has this, each seat has a picture thing, you can look at it, monitor, and you can put it on travel, and it was a 164 mile an hour headwinds at 37,000 feet, and it was 64 below zero up there. And it was like 100 down here. Who maketh his angels spirits, his ministers a flaming fire, who laid the foundation of the earth, here we go now, that it should not be removed forever. Hey, you green people, read your Bible. When God wants to end this thing, he'll end it. But God made it. Al Gore did not make the earth. And Al Gore has no idea what he's talking about, but he sure makes a lot of money for a lot of people. You just figure that one out, amen? I personally think you ought to be conservative about what you do. I'm very careful about, if I'm going to kill something, I'm going to eat that thing. Except for gophers, sorry. But, I think we ought to be careful with that. I think we ought to be careful about, using water and... I think that's no more than smart. The Bible says we have dominion over, man has dominion over the earth. We ought to take care of it. Amen. I ought to be stupid about it. Look at that. Did you see the picture of Peking today or Beijing? Beijing, they're having trouble with tourists because the smog is so terrible. It's not so bad to clean up the air. Who covers it with the deep as with a garment, the water stood above the mountains. What's that talking about? Flood. At thy rebuke they fled, at the voice of thy thunder they hasted away. They go up to the mountains, they go down by the valleys unto the place which thou hast founded for them. And of course, remember that was the third day God separated land from the water. Remember? Verse 9, and thou hast set a bond that they may not pass over, that they turn not again to cover the earth. And all God's people said, except Fargo, North Dakota, and down there in Baton Rouge, they're kind of wondering. But Baton Rouge, hate to tell you, you're under sea level in the first place. You should not even be there. Hello! When you go to buy a house and it's in the floodplain, wrong place to build. He sendeth the springs into the valleys which run among the hills. Chad Marshall, their new place up there, they found a spring. Boy, that's the greatest thing you can do on the property. My great-granddad said, if you don't have water, you don't have nothing. And so when he came from Switzerland and came into Ohio Valley, moved up into Michigan where it was just white pine and everything, and they were cutting those trees down to have some place to farm, he was always looking for a spring or a water source. And I was telling my brother-in-law, we're driving by my great-granddad's place, and I said, and it's for sale. Anybody want to buy it? But anyway, and there's a huge oak tree that my granddad planted. It is maybe three times the size of this pulpit. But right beside it, he dug a well that was his number two well, and it produced so much water that he capped it off And he says, I'm not using that. I'm going to use this well because we've got good water here. But if we ever get in trouble, we always have a good well there. And by the way, if you go back there today, you could find, if you dug around by that tree, you could find his casing of his well. But if you don't have water, you don't have anything. And the Bible talks about sending springs into the valley. Now listen, which runneth among the hills. Why is it the water runs uphill? I don't know. They give drink to every beast of the field, and wild asses quench their thirst. By them shall the fowls of the heaven have the habitation which sing among the branches. Boy, I got the loudmouth birds up in front of my house. Amen. He watered the hills from the chambers of the earth, is satisfied with fruit of thy works. He causes the grass to grow for the cattle and the herbs for the service of men, that he may bring forth food out of the earth. Amen. I can't wait. I got a garden. And I'm going to tell you, there's a cucumber in there. I've been watching and watching. And I'm going to get it. And I'm going to eat it. Pam and Andy had strawberries. And I want you to know they were sacrificial. The first strawberry came off, they gave it to me. Thank you. And wine that maketh glad the heart of man. Now that's not talking about what Moab and David and all that kind of stuff. This is talking about fresh grape juice. And oil to make his face to shine, and bread that strengtheneth man's heart. We have a lot of people saying, don't eat carbohydrates. But I've read the Bible about bread. I was talking to a doctor one time. He said, you know, you need some bread. And I can see a man that is getting chunky and whatever to lay off the bread, but he does need some bread for his heart. That's what the Bible, I don't know if you do what the Bible says, but I kind of like to do that. Good to drink juice. Look what it does. It makes the guy happy. Oil makes his face to shine. It's okay to use olive oil. Amen. Bread that strengthens his soul. See, the Bible's got everything for anybody. The tree of the Lord are full of sap. I was back in Michigan. Guess what they produce over there? Some of you guys in Vermont. Some of you guys up in New York. What do you get? Maple syrup. And cedars of Lebanon, which he had planted. Now remember, full of sap. And cedar trees, what do they give you? They give you sap, and they make paste, and you can do all kinds of stuff with that. Where the birds make their nest, as for the stork, a fir tree are her house. The high hills are the refuge for the wild goats, and the rocks for the conies. He appointeth the moon for seasons, the sun knoweth his going down. Thou makest darkness, and it is night, wherein all the beasts of the forest do creep forth. Thank God there's night. I'm glad those beasts stay inside. I'm glad the skunks are nocturnal. And the rest of some of that other stuff. Snakes. All that other stuff. Amen. Young lions roar after their prey and seek their meat from God. I love that. Isn't that something? The sun rises. They gather some together and lay them down in their dens. Thank God. That means that I can go and do my business. Don't have to worry about a lion come by and eat me up. Amen. Men go forth unto his work and his labor until what? Evening. So if you work a night job, Tucker, you're unbiblical. Unless you're, you know, protecting us. Because always somebody's got to stay up and look after me. O Lord, how manifold are thy works. In wisdom hast thou made them. All the earth is full of thy riches. Say, let's talk about Butte, Montana. Is it full of riches? Whew. I just heard somebody said they found a new gold vein someplace in Montana. It's not, nobody's telling where it's at, but there's some gold coming. How about North Dakota? How about this oil? And by the way, we have so much oil just in Montana that far surpasses anything Saudi Arabia even thought about. But guess what? We got some Al Gore's won't let us dig. Hey, buddy, dig, baby, dig. So is this great and wide sea, wherein are things creeping innumerable, both small and great beasts, was the Bible said. On the fifth day, he created all the beasts of the sea and all the fish. Innumerable. There go the ships. There is that Levantine sea monster. Extinct dinosaur. Don't you believe that? Don't be so stupid, Baptists, and say, well, that really didn't happen, because they got bones of them. And by the way, since they have bones of them, that means that the death had to be quick, because if you got bones, they'll just deteriorate, right? Why are there still woolly mammoths in ice caves that are still completely together up in Alaska and up into the northwest area? I'll tell you why. Because there was a flood. A deluge. Done. Frozen. See, when God took the canopy or the firmament, and that sun was penetrating, it just made everything warm, and that's why man could run naked around, not freeze to death. That was gone. All of a sudden, now we got four seasons. Amen. Anybody have trouble with that? They're dinosaurs. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're dinosaurs. And this fossilizing business. One guy dropped a top hat into a limestone quarry. 5 years later, they were digging limestone, and they found the guy's hat. And it was solid and perfect shape. But it was a fossil. You can't scare me with science. Whom thou hast made to play therein. And God says, I made these big 11 times that they play in the water, amen. Maybe there is such a thing as the Loch Ness Monster, amen. These wait all upon thee, that thou mayest give them meat in due season, that thou givest them... Are you getting tired? You want to sit down? And they gather, thou openest thine hand, and they are filled with good. Thou hidest thy face, they are troubled, thou takest away their breath, they die and return to their dust. Thou sendest forth thy spirit, and are created, and thou renewest the face of the earth. The glory of the Lord shall endure forever. The Lord shall rejoice in his works. He looketh on the earth, and it trembleth. He toucheth the hills, and they smoke. I will sing unto the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have my being. My meditation of him shall be sweet. I will be glad in the Lord. Let the sinners be consumed out of the earth. And let the wicked be no more. Bless thou the Lord. O my soul, bless ye the Lord. And one more verse. Verse 1 there of Psalm 105. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the people. Some people believe that this is when the translators... By the way, chapters and verses are not inspired. And don't take that away from the Word of God, because that Word is in here. So it's okay. Just like Psalm 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the... Not Psalm 1. 1 John 1, 9. 1 John. In the beginning was the Word. And if you will go to Psalm 1 John chapter 2, verse 1 and 2, there are still continuations. But it doesn't change anything, right? So don't let people mess with you on that stuff. Okay, you may sit down. Time's up. All right. Let's pray. Holy God of heaven, we have read your magnificent song. Oh, it is so rich. It is so full. It is so, as one commentator said, so pregnant with so much in it. And there, God, just let us stop for a moment in this busy world of ours. And Lord, just let us feast on your Word of God. Holy Spirit, you are our teacher. You are our light, our lamp to show us. The Spirit of God told us in the Scriptures that we are to come to you and beg you to understand the Word of God and ask wisdom. So we do that tonight. Bless these folks that have stopped for a moment in their busy life and all the crazy things going on in their brain right now. Let us just put those things away and let us just have a good meal tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, you better eat fast because you've got 14 minutes. All right. This psalm is what they call a true neighbor psalm of Psalm 103. Two go together like peas in a pod. Some think it's the same author that wrote this psalm. Psalm 103 celebrates God as the God of circumstances. Psalm 104 celebrates God as the God of creation. Psalm 103 magnifies God's grace, and Psalm 104 magnifies God's glory. Psalm 103 deals with God's mercy, and Psalm 104 deals with God's might. The author of Psalm 104 has been called the Wadsworth of the ancients. He is evidently a man in love with nature and in love with nature's author and creator. I like that. I love the earth. I was back in Michigan, and they had just thrashed my wheat. And so we went around and checked it. And I had one of my little nephews. I said, go out there and cut me down. And they'd missed a little spot on my field. And I said, go down there and cut me off some heads of that wheat. And I put it in a plastic bag and brought it home. Up in my office, I've got corn. I've got beans. I got wheat. I love nature. I grew up with nature. I grew up with soil between my toes, amen. And sometimes I went to bed with it, and my mother wasn't too impressed with that, amen. Sometimes I went to bed with hay chaff down my shirt. And my mother said, good night. She looked at my ears. She said, you know, I could grow taters in there. How many ever had a mama tell you that? Man, your ears are so dirty, I could grow a sack of taters in there, amen. And I love soil. I don't call it dirt. Dirt is when people aren't wise enough to wash it off, amen. I love the soil. I love the earth. I love the smell of it. There's just something about it. I love getting down on my knees and, well, now I don't like it as much as I used to, but you say, why not? Because I can't get up, all right? But this psalmist, you can tell that he has a touch in nature. He has this love of what God has done for him. We were at camp. I'm not kidding. I was at camp. And here you walk out the door, and here's Stormcastle Reef. I mean, it just sprayed up saying, look at me! And you hear the water out there in the West Gallatin just rolling out there. And every once in a while you see a deer or a moose or, you know, birds and hummingbirds, and just, it's amazing, you know. And I got people inside playing and putting a puzzle together. I won't tell you who it was. But I wonder about Mrs. Ortez's son-in-law. But anyway. I said, what are you guys doing in here? Why? I said, you're putting a puzzle together in a dining hall? Get outside, blow the stink off you. Good night, man. You know what they did? Stay there and put the puzzle together. And then the audacity tell me at supper, hey, we got it done. I want to say, who cares? Since people that go to Niagara Falls and go into shops and buy stuff and say, look at this magnificent piece of amazing waterfalls. Psalmist had something. I wish you'd get something. Never get used to living in Montana. One of these days you're going to move away from here and you're going to say, boy, I miss. I was back home in Michigan. I like Michigan. I would take some. I couldn't wait to get back to Montana. I want to see my mountains. I want to see these endless plains. There's just something about living here.
Amen.
Somebody said yesterday, just love Montana water. Amen. Well, some people call this, the author or creator. The poem follows the plan of Genesis 1, as I said before. We have day 1, day 2, and verses 1 through 4. And the first half of the day, 3, in verse 5 and through 9. Second half, verse 3, verses 10 through 18. And day 4 and 5 and 6 is verse 19 through 30. And then day 7, verses 31 and 35. First of all, the glory of God's person. And we see an instinctive word of worship here in verse 1. 1a. Bless the Lord, O my soul. The expression identical with the opening exclamation of the previous psalm. Lord. Here is a usual word for Jehovah, the God of the covenant. And a covenant, I was speaking to a young couple today, they're going to get married, and they asked me to perform the ceremony, and I was talking about marriage, and I said, marriage, when you promise her and you promise him, you're literally making a covenant, and covenants can only be broken when you die. I hope I got that across to them. And the God of the covenant, but with the additional meaning, Jehovah himself, the hymn was inspired by the thoughts of Jehovah. This morning I was reading Psalm 65 until 70, and 66 to 70, and I tried to read five Psalms. Anyway, it was talking about Jehovah, and it went in and it says, Yah! It means Jehovah. So often when you think of God, we think of terms of our own needs and our own benefits. I'll be honest with you, I'm very, that's me. When I think of God, I think of how he takes care of me and all this, but very few times do I think of God as God, Jehovah, Elohim. I don't think of that. And I shame myself that I was studying. I said, good night. It is not often that we think solely on God himself. However, it is the essence of true worship. It is to be taken up with what God is in and in himself. And for me to worship God, I need to forget about Sheldon. I need to forget about Marcia. I need to forget about my kids. And I need to really, truly worship on who God really is. And then all of a sudden it's just, as the psalmist says, it is too much for me. I can't understand it. But if I'd ask you, and this is a rhetorical question, I'm going to ask you a question. You don't have to, do not answer me. But when is the last time you really thought of the magnificent, the almighty, the awesome, the true triune God? I mean, my first thing, I fall on my knees and said, God, you know I'm a sinner. And here's some things I got to talk to you about, and I don't want to talk to you about, but I know you know it anyway, so I might as well spill my guts to you. And I go into a time of repentance to God and say, Lord, here's some things. And I try not to keep that too long, because when I sin, I want to ask God to forgive me right there, right then, right at the moment, so I don't have to forget, that I don't forget. I don't want to have a... You ever leave your dishes in the sink? They just keep piling up. How come I ever did that? This is not a rhetorical question. This is the truth, yes. Sister Sherry came over and God bless your heart. Man, I'll tell you, over the last couple of days, I'm just trying to exist. And she came over and worked. But to me, it was just so much. And then Jim and Julie came over last night and fed us water from the old. Was it last night? Huh? Monday. And came over and brought their grandkids over. That was, you could have just stayed home, let them give us the grandkids, amen. But anyway, we had fun with them, you know. And I came over and I saw these dishes that were mounting up. And Julie goes out and washes them up. And I'll tell you what. What a blessing. Amen? You know, I think that's sometimes when we sin. We look at our sin and it's piled high. So how am I going to get out of that? Best thing to do, just when you do a little bit, just wash it and put it away. My wife, she said, dishes are not done and everything is in the cupboard. She wouldn't even let them drain sometimes. She was a, boy, I'm sure disappointed her. There's no higher or holier occupation which I can engage in with a rational mind is to stop and worship the Holy God. Not for what He's done for me, but what He is and who He is. And God loves that. Secondly, not only do we have the instinctive word of worship, we also have an intelligent word of worship. Oh my God, Thou art very great. Thou art clothed with honor and majesty. Thy robes of state are honor and majesty, literally saying. These are imperial garments. How many of us saw someone who was in there, dressed in their, in the sheriff's office, called Class A, the best you can put on. What do you call you guys? Dress blues? That's what you call? And it's the best you can do, amen? You put all your medals. Called Class A? Right? And pretty sharp, if you can still get in on. Hey, Roy, put your Class A's on lately? I wear a vest, an armor vest, and thank God for it, just like a girdle, man. Man, I look pretty good, man. Well, maybe not, but I think I do, amen. I'm sure glad to take that thing off when I get home, amen. God's robe of state, our honor and majesty, these are His imperial garments, the insignia of royalty. You have no question who He is. And as the psalmist sees it, in the creation of the world, God has clothed Himself with a robe of splendor, fashioned to the form of one who is infinite. Creation shows forth God's eternal power and His Godhead in such a way that no man has any excuse for not knowing who He is. Some of you guys know what I'm talking about. You were taught this in basic training, boot camp. You knew what the stripe meant. You knew what the brass is on the. And you want to make sure you knew what that meant. Was that one of the first things they taught you? He Himself may be invisible, but His impure garments are an abundant evidence of everywhere. It is not that men cannot see them, it is rather they refuse to see them. And as an old English proverb put it, there is none so blind as he who will not see. There is none so blind who will not see. A contemplation of God's creation will draw out both an instinctive and intelligent word of worship. Instinctive because it wells up in our heart, and intelligent because it engages the facility of our mind. When I think of God, I am grateful. My heart swells. Some of the things that happen in your life, and you realize that God is in control, you can go, and then some things that engage the facility of our mind, this intelligence, we say, I get that. I got it. Number two, the glory of God's power. Time's up. Makes me so mad. I have so much to tell you. I was so excited about telling you about Einstein and the atmospheric heavens and the... But I will stay tuned. I'm going to write right here, stop. And it's 2:20:30.